Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ at the Planet every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's repeated on Friday nights, I believe, at 7 p.m. You can also hear the show on IPMNation.org, which is a 24-hour online talk radio based out of Concord, New Hampshire. And you can hear the show Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Also on our Podomatic page, podomatic.com, just punch in Camp Constitution. Not only will you get this show, but there'll be archive shows as well as some classic interviews, like people like the late Gary Allen, and we've got an interview of the diver who found Mary Jo Kopechne's body at Chappaquiddick, and some other Anthony Sutton, I think a speech by him in 1972, talking about how our technology has been sold or given to the Soviets to make their military might possible. So great stuff there. You can also go to our YouTube channel, Camp Constitution, and see many of the shows that are archived there as well. We do recommend that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well as go to our Facebook account, our Facebook page, and like that. You'll get a lot of updated information about our activities in the region, and including our week-long family camp. This week-long camp is coming up August 5th to the 11th, and it's the beautiful Berkshires of Massachusetts. And just got confirmation, one of our camp supporters has something like a couple of million frequent flyer miles, and he just made arrangements to for Lord Christopher Monckton to fly into Boston from London, and we're excited about that. Lord Monckton will be one of our featured instructors each year. We have some of the instructors that are regulars every year, and people like Mrs. Catherine White and Pastor Earl Wallace, and then we have folks that are sort of guests that might come in every so often. Mrs. Chris Ann Hall. She's been somewhat of a regular, although last year she couldn't make it, and she'll be returning to camp this year. Now, Lord Monckton is a British lord. He, if you want to do a YouTube search for him, he is an incredible individual. Great story about Lord Monckton. There was some type of UN function going on, UN-sponsored event. It was on an island, and I don't know, I think it was in the Mediterranean, I'm not sure. He was not invited, and he's sort of he's as welcome as a canarade at a cockroach convention when it comes to these UN events. So he actually chartered a small plane, and he parachuted in to this function the first time. It was the first time he ever jumped out of an airplane, and he had his tuxedo on underneath his jumpsuit. He did have a couple of people helping him, so he's quite a character. He loves the United States. He loves our Constitution. He was a instrument. He was very much involved in the Brexit movement, and he's an incredible speaker, and he's very humorous as well. So we're really excited about having him. He's also going to be speaking in the greater New England area that week, and we wanted to keep him busy, and he wanted to stay busy, and he wasn't just going to lecture at camp all week, so he'll be speaking in Marlborough, Massachusetts that week of April. August 5th to the 11th, I think that Thursday. And so if you just stay tuned to our, visit our Facebook page or our website to get more information about that. Speaking to a group in Lexington, Massachusetts that Friday, which would be, the 9th. And we have maybe another date to be announced. Mrs. Chris Ann Hall, who is a constitutional attorney, travels all over the United States. Please check her website out. I think it's called chrisannhall.com or .org. And you can go to her Podomatic channel as well. She's a phenomenal instructor, and we're very blessed to have someone like her, Dr. Duke Pesta. Dr. Duke is a friend of mine. He is one of the top experts on Common Core in the United States, maybe even the world. And he'll just be in for a couple of days. He can't spend the whole week, so he'll be in early in the week. And who else we got? We got John McManus, the president emeritus of the John Birch Society, who's authored, I don't know, about 10 books on various topics. He'll be returning. So to learn more about our camp, visit our website, campconstitution.net, and you'll be able to learn more about us and also sign up for camp. Or if you can't make it to camp, or someone in your family or neighbor, why not make a donation to our camp? Make it possible for some worthy young person or family. You know, you get a family of 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, pretty pricey. So we've never turned away a worthy family or worthy camper for lack of funds, and we hope we never have to. So, if you help out, why not be a camp sponsor? We have a sponsors page, and if you have a business or a nonprofit, why not consider making a donation? In this case, it would be a tax deduction. It would be almost considered like an advertisement. Well, folks, there's always things going on in the world, especially in the United States with Donald Trump president. And it's interesting that all of them, you know, again, I'm not a total apologist for the president. I'll criticize him where there should be criticism. But some of the criticism is really ridiculous and totally unfounded. Now, Kelly Sandler, she is an aide, a White House aide, and she made a comment, if it was a joke, not a very good one, about John McCain that will be dead soon. Now, that's in very bad taste. I think it's someone who's dying of anything, cancer, what have you. No matter how much you may or may not like somebody, it's in bad taste. Apology, I believe she already made the apology to McCain. And really, the story should be over. Nope, they want her head on a platter. They want her fired. Now, where were these neocons like Romney and McCain when the left was going after him, when that nasty little comedian, I didn't want to even dignify her with her name, had a fake head of Trump covered with blood, or when people like Snoop Dogg were mock assassinations? Where were these folks criticizing this behavior when they were going after Trump, or the vicious and ugly things that Madonna said, or these other so-called celebrities? Funny, they didn't say, they weren't full of indignation when this was going on. And Joe Biden said, this is horrible, and this is undignified. Oh, he knows a lot about dignity, this man, who used to kite checks when he was a senator, and a man who, and you can find this article, just do a little search. He wrote an article, and I don't remember the original source, how I got to love the New World Order. So here's a man that was vice president, he was a U.S. senator, took an oath to the Constitution, yet he defied that when he said, how I learned to love the New World Order. And you see some videos of him on YouTube that are pretty disgusting. So who is this man to criticize anybody? But he's full of indignation. He didn't have any problem when his boss there. Oh, he also said, it was interesting too, when he was talking about Obama, and he thinks something to the effect that, well, he's a smart black guy, or he doesn't have a Negro accent or something like that. And he made these racist comments, and he gets away with it. Yet he has the audacity to criticize the White House on this issue, you know. So and then back to John McCain. Now, John McCain rightfully opposes the nominee for the CIA, Gina Haspel is her name. She was involved, I think she was involved in what they call extraordinary rendition and waterboarding and other things that are wrong. And I'll be, you know, I'm not defending anybody who engages in torture. That's something that's beneath the United States. We do not engage in things that just because the enemy does it. And I'm not a geopolitical expert or a military strategist. I did spend some time in the military, in the United States Army, did basic training. One of the first things they told us is that we never obey an unlawful order. And ordering someone to torture another person is an unlawful order. No one should be tortured. There's ways to get information from people without having to torture them. And in fact, you ask some experts on the subject, and they will say, you know, torturing isn't really the best way to get information from people. Usually if people are being tortured, they might just say anything. They'll say the moon is made out of blue cheese just to have the torture stop. And most of the people that are being tortured may not have the information. Most of them are low-level operatives. And one of the important things in any military or any covert operation is a need-to-know basis. So, you know, if you're you're at a certain level, you don't know all of the people involved in the mission. You don't know all the people behind the mission. You might just know enough to get your mission done. So when they ask you for names and dates and people and places, you don't know much. You know, of course, the argument as well, if torturing one person can save a million people's lives, it sounds reasonable, but again, if we have the result of torture, we're no better than the communists and the Nazis. And if we do resort to torture, we should just make a formal apology to the communists and Nazis. That's all. I mean, what they would do is so horrible, and we acknowledge it's horrible, then why are we doing it? But that being said, John McCain has a really sordid history when it comes to this subject. He's been both in favor and against this type of thing. So, and it's interesting, too, he was subject to torture as a prisoner of war. But one of the most what really made me have no respect for John McCain. Now, first off, flying a fighter plane, a fighter jet, and taking enemy fire takes a lot of courage. Something that I don't think I could do. I could fly in a helicopter as a machine gunner. That I could do, but to fly a jet, you're going hundreds of miles an hour. It takes a lot of courage. So with that, I would have to say John McCain has physical courage. But I think he lacks moral courage. I think he's been compromised. During the POW, the Senate, it was a U.S. Senate committee. Their job was to see if there were any POWs, prisoners of war, in Vietnam. And this was in the early 90s when this hearing took place. John Kerry was one of the participants, and John McCain, and also Senator Bob... New Hampshire senator, whom I met a few times. Anyway, his name will come to me, Bob. Basically, it was a whitewash. There were a number of witnesses that were pointing out that there were POWs that were left behind, and McCain, instead of looking into it, he was saying, "Who's funding you?" You know, he was just that these people were conspiring, they were getting money, and they were frauds. It was vile and vicious, and that's when I learned to really detest the man, that he basically was covering up for the communists in Vietnam. And don't know why he was doing this, but it is what he did, and I think it was reprehensible. And he was what we call these folks like him neocons. The term neocon or neoconservative is really a sort of confusing misnomer. These folks came from the 50s and 60s. There were a group of people, they were Trotskyites, or former Trotskyites. They were anti-Stalin, but these were in the United States, big government types, and they were Democrats. And as the Democrat Party was going harder to the left, they didn't think they had a place. So they slowly made their way into the Republican Party and pretty much took it over. And one of the key neocons, well, Bill Buckley was started off as a paleo conservative. That's a person who believes in limited government under the Constitution, non-intervention, and things of this nature. He and his father were classical paleo conservatives, but along the line, he started. He had hit a professor at Yale. That was instrumental in turning him into a neocon, and he even wrote back in the 50s about how socialism is the way to go. All the while, he was parading himself as the leader of the conservative movement. There's a great book on the subject written by John McManus, who will be at camp this year. It's called William Buckley, Pied Piper of the Establishment. And it's not just a biography of Buckley, but it goes into the neoconservative movement. People like Irving Kristol and his his son, and many of these other people. And McCain is a typical neoconservative. They like big government. They're internationalists. They might believe in streamlining things a little bit. Maybe they don't want to have a gigantic budget. But they, and when it comes to what they refer to as social issues, they're totally indifferent. Abortion, the homosexual agenda. They may not be pushing it. They may not be, but they don't oppose it. So as long as someone in the White House likes to drop bombs somewhere, they're happy. Whether it doesn't care where they're dropping the bombs, whether it's Bosnia, whether it's Haiti, whether it's somewhere in the Middle East, as long as their U.S. military is cooperating with the U.N. and dropping bombs somewhere, then they're happy. But if you look at the voting records of folks like Lindsey Graham and John McCain, they are usually on a scale of 1 to 100, 100 being a constitutionalist like a Ron Paul, and a 0 being to the left of Lenin. They're usually about a 40 or 60 on this scale. That tells you that they violate their oaths of office on a regular basis. They love big government, and they are not friends of liberty. And the quicker that these neocons retire or get voted out, the better we'll be. And I think it's good to see, I think this last primary, some true conservative type patriots won their primaries. Now they got to win the election. So I also I'd like to do a little book review if I could. It's a book that I just picked up a few days ago called Kennedy Babylon, A Century of Scandal and Depravity, written by Howie Carr. Now, Howie Carr has been a longtime talk show host, probably one of the most popular ones in New England. I think he's syndicated in pretty much the New England market. I don't think he goes too far outside New England. And I got a chance to meet him at an event. Interesting, it was about 15 years ago. A friend of mine who knows Howie pretty well asked me about the book Teddy Bear. Teddy Bear was was one of the earliest books exposing Ted Kennedy and his the Chappaquiddick cover-up. So that's Teddy Bear, B-A-R-E, the Chappaquiddick cover-up. It's written by a Romanian prince. Now, the book says Zad Rust as the author, and the Romanian prince's name was Michael Sturza. So Zad Rust is just, Sturza written backwards or sideways, I think. Anyway, at one point I had 15,000 copies. It was the last printing. They were all, in unopened cases. It was a former colleague of mine that had these books in a warehouse in Pennsylvania. And in the early 90s, there wasn't a big demand for the book. So another friend of mine who was an 18-wheeler over-the-roader, refrigeration car, he'd get down to Pennsylvania every so often. He'd bring back 30, 40, 50 cases at a time. And then I would get my friends and contacts in Massachusetts, and we would simply distribute these books. We'd sell a few here and there, a buck a piece. Again, there wasn't a big demand. There was no Amazon. And we would actually go into bookstores and we would shop, leave. We would literally go into a bookstore and leave the books in the biography section or wherever we could. And in some cases, the bookstores would buy them from us. In many cases, we'd have people leave them. We would had a cab driver friend in Boston, and I'd give him a case every week, and he'd go out after his runs and leave copies off at ATM machines and other places, diners and at counters and so forth. So I was down to about a case in 2009 when Ted Kennedy passed away. And a friend of mine in the Albany, New York area had he had an Amazon account, and he told me, he says, gee, Hal, you got a hold of me. I was up in Northern Maine, and he said, Hal, I'm selling these Teddy Bear books for, I think, $10 or $15 a copy. So that's what prompted me to start an Amazon account. Now the account is under Camp Constitution, since Camp Constitution gets the proceeds. And by the time I set up my account, the demand had kind of taken a little bit of a tailspin, kind of declined, and I only sold a few. So I listed them for about $3 on Amazon. So there they were all this time. But a friend of mine, Chris McCarthy, whose show I will be on in a couple of days, his radio show in the New Bedford, Massachusetts area, he asked me if I could give him some copies, and I did. I gave him, I mean, so many cases at a time. And Howie Carr, on his very well 50,000-watt station, he would make them available to, the fifth caller, get a free copy. And, this went on for a while, so he helped distribute quite a few of these books. So I was very pleased to see this book, Kennedy Babylon. And now, he wasn't just talking about Ted Kennedy. He's talking about the Kennedy family from Joe Sr. to Joe Jr. to Ted to Robert Kennedy and actually other family members, cousins, nephews, and what have you. And I'm about 100 pages into it. And I tell you, as bad as I thought they were, they're a whole lot worse. I can't imagine someone like John Kennedy getting anything done as president because he had spent so much time with women, even prostitutes, and just the total depravity of this family. And nothing seems to change. It seems to be the same way to this day. You would think that there'd be one Kennedy somewhere, distant relative, that was a morally upright person that did believe in God, family, and country. I have to marvel at how the left keeps raise their children. Very few of them stray off the left, far left plantation. I mean, look at Chelsea Clinton. Look at the Kennedys. Look at the Cuomos. They do an incredible job. Now, it could be the fear of losing their trust. Maybe some of them just don't want to. Maybe there's some of them aren't all that active. But don't speak out against this. I heard from a late friend of mine that knew one of the Kennedys pretty well, that behind closed doors, they would get, one of them, I think, was Ethel Eunice, who was very pro-life, and she would get angry with her brother for being Ted. Well, they all were pro-abortion, but Ted would always be, vote pro-abortion. And they would have nasty arguments, but then, in the public, she would completely support him. That shows me that how can you support somebody if you have such violent disagreements with? But that's just how the Kennedy family rolled. And I was pleased that this movie that came out. I did a little bit of review of it a few weeks ago, the Chappaquiddick movie. It did indicate that Mary Jo suffocated; she wasn't drowned, and Ted and his gang of apologists and fixers were more interested in Ted's career than they were this young, idealistic lady's life. And that just seems to be the way the Kennedy family operates. Also, this incredible arrogance of these folks. Don't you know who I am when they routinely get arrested for drunk driving or some other violation? How dare you? I'm a Kennedy. I'm entitled. I'm privileged. I'm above the law. I'm a Kennedy. And really, it's what legacy do they have? The old man was a crook. He was a horrible ambassador. He got the rights to import liquor. He made tons of money off that. He was a horrible womanizer. And all his sons, I thought maybe Joe Jr. I did a little research on Joe Jr. There was a school that was named after him in the Hyde Park section of Boston. Now, he was killed in World War II. He was, I think, had 50 missions. To his credit, very courageous, 50 missions over Germany as a pilot. And he was on a mission to bomb what he thought was a factory making, I think they were rockets of some sort, but the factory had been abandoned and he died on the plane crashed or what have you. But I was surprised to learn that he was a total socialist and a collectivist. In 1934, Joe Sr. sent Joe Jr. to Germany, Nazi Germany, where he was very sympathetic to the Nazis, especially their eugenics program. And he made some very strong arguments in favor of eugenics. So I said, well, that's another Kennedy. I guess was if he became president, he would have been just as bad as the rest of them. So Kennedy Babylon, A Century of Scandal and Depravity. And it goes into, of course, all of the Kennedys, the ones from John Jr., John Kennedy, the late president, his relationship with Marilyn Monroe, Robert Kennedy. One of the things that I didn't know, and this was fascinating, was during the Bay of Pigs, the Kennedys talk about spin doctors. The Kennedys looked like, wow, Khrushchev blinked. It was an amazing victory for Camelot, for John Kennedy, his courageous president. Well, Khrushchev didn't blink. Khrushchev, when he knew Kennedy was weak. And what happened was a war was averted, but the agreement was we will take our missiles out of Western Europe. I think we had some in Greece and a few other places, and they'll take their missiles. The Russians will take their missiles out of Cuba. Well, there was never any on-site inspection, so we never knew. And then there was the Bay of Pigs. The Bay of Pigs was an incident where the U.S. government, the CIA, promised to help the Cubans to get Castro out of power. And they were promised air cover. And as the planes were in the air, almost near the beach, they were ordered to turn back. But there were some Alabama Air National Guardsmen that defied the order. And when Robert Kennedy heard about this, he said, I hope those blankers are dead. He was hoping that Americans died because it would have been an embarrassment if they were captured, alive and paraded in Havana. That shows you just the depravity of Robert Kennedy. Oh, yes, too, that Robert Kennedy was a vile anti-Semite. And it was very interesting that one of John Kennedy's doctors, Jacobson, was Jewish, and he was visiting the White House. And Kennedy said, Robert Kennedy said something like, you blinking kike SOBs, you don't belong in the White House, get out of here. And he was also a homophobe. Isn't that interesting? You know, the Kennedys are so much supporting the lesbian gay communities and all this, but Robert Kennedy Sr. was a homophobe. He was very nasty. He didn't care for homosexuals too much. I'm surprised. Why doesn't that get out in the mass media? Also, as Howie Carr points out in the book, that many of the news stories were spiked. They didn't even make it into the press. All of the various prostitutes and the womanizing and the payoffs and the many other things in there were completely covered up by the press that were very acquiescent towards the Kennedy family. And they still are, by the way, to a very large extent. I don't think CNN is going to do a critique of the Chappaquiddick movie. Anyway, we're almost out of time. So again, I want to just thank you for listening. I want to also promote a camp again. That's one reason why we started Camp Constitution way back in 2008 to make this incredible program available to as many people as we can to teach young people and adults the great principles of liberty and limited government and responsibility. So this year's family camp, August 5th to the 11th, in beautiful Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Actually, it's the Lakeview Christian Camp and Conference Center, and we have an incredible lineup. We also have a weekend camp that will be our first weekend camp coming up in Maine in the middle of September from the 14th to the 16th. The Reverend Stevie Kraft is our guest or our instructor there, our featured instructor, and that will just be Friday night, the 14th, check-in. We'll have some classes on Saturday, and then we'll have breakfast on Sunday, another class, and then that will be it. So it's just a 2 nights, 3 days, and we hope you are able to. And by the way, wherever you may be in the United States or any other part of the world, we will help you. If you fly in, we'll pick you up at an airport, drop you off at an airport, bus station, train station. We even have some carpooling opportunities. We have people coming from the Midwest and from the South who might be driving. And it's possible to make some arrangements, although I can't guarantee it. We'll do what I can. Anyway, you've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. And until next week, may God bless you.